It's time to bring out the Better Worldian in all of us. Welcome to Better Worldians Radio with your hosts, Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. Better Worldians Radio inspires you with the people and ideas that are making the world a better place. You'll hear how small acts can make a big difference every day. Now, here are Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory.
Hi, welcome to Better Worldians Radio. Better Worldians Radio is a weekly podcast whose mission is to uplift and inspire you to make the world a better place. I'm Ray Hansel, joined today by my co-host, Mary Sue Hansel. Better Worldians Radio is brought to you by Better Worldians Foundation and is co-hosted by the family team that created the popular social game on Facebook called A Better World. It rewards players for doing good deeds while raising money and awareness for charities. To date, over 40 million good deeds have been done in A Better World by more than 4 million people in over 100 countries. This week on Better Worldians Radio, we welcome Omra Omar, founder of Safari Doctors, a nonprofit that travels to remote corners of Kenya and provide health care to those who otherwise wouldn't have any. Raised in Kenya, Omra earned degrees from two prestigious American schools, completing graduate school, and was working full-time in Washington, D.C. when she decided to move home and make a difference. When she learned about a life-saving medical aid project that had been abandoned due to security concerns, Omra founded Safari Doctors. Today, Safari Doctors provides free basic medical services, including immunizations, maternal health care, and much, much more to more than 1,000 people a year.
Hi, Omra. Welcome to Better Worldians Radio.
Thank you, guys. This is very exciting to be on board and a part of the Better Worldians movement.
We can't wait to hear all about Safari Doctors. Can you tell us just what it is and who it serves?
Safari Doctors, we are a mobile health providing primary health care to remote villages of Lamu East specifically, where we have a stretch of several hundreds of kilometers with villages spread out, having minimal to zero access to the nearest dispensary, as what we call it. So we mobilize resources and medical professionals to get on the boat and sail out, stopping at different villages, setting up clinics, whether it's under a tree or in a rundown school, and setting up camp and moving on to the next stop. So we do this every month with a team of very dedicated professionals and volunteers.
Wow, every month. Now, you were raised in Kenya, but you attended many universities, as Ray mentioned in the intro, and you worked even in Washington, D.C., and then you decided to come back to Kenya. Why did you feel you had a calling to do so?
So I feel strongly believe that to whom much is given, much is expected. And all the opportunities I had, especially through education, was because of who I am, where I'm from, and the story that I carried with me. And that afforded me the scholarships to go overseas to get the exposure, connect, and really expose myself professionally. So it's kind of easy to then, you know, get comfortable, and whether it's then go in, get a mortgage, or start working the 9 to 5 to get that beautiful paycheck at the end of the month. And then there's a sense of a void and kind of like I was cheating the opportunities that I've been given. So came the one day after I came home on Christmas holiday and then went back to work that January, and by February that I have to resign. Wow. And kind of go figure out what to do. So that's what happened. It just one day just kind of hit me going through the monotony of life in D.C. that I need to find a calling back home.
Well, I think that's a beautiful statement, to whom much is given, much is expected. I think we should all follow that. So,
definitely.
Omra, how did Safari Doctors actually get started? I mean, did you know doctors, or how did you figure out what to do?
The one thing I had, the a beautiful connection of the previous project that existed. So the lady behind that pretty much handed me a blueprint.
Oh.
So that was like a big stepping stone, you know, like, okay, these are the areas we went. This is who we went with.
Uh-huh.
And then I came down to Lamu because I'm from here. I was able to access and kind of go around getting information, going to the hospital, the county hospital, meeting with the officials, having interviews with the former staff of the initiative that was then. And that, I think, is what gave me the kind of the confidence to be like, okay, maybe we can create something from this information that that's there. And came safari doctors from a very basic, humble beginning, which I think is the other key of understanding about any initiative that we might see. By the time we're seeing it or getting to get to hear about it, is that it's already taken shape, but it started from a very humble beginning, so it wasn't as intimidating or overwhelming when we were going around just getting a nurse on a motorbike to do the immunizations. So it's been an organic growth.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm really curious about the communities, what they're like, and it's in Lamu. That's where you are now?
Yes.
Tell us about what that looks like and us compared to, say, Washington, D.C. Maybe you can draw the stark contrast for us.
So we have what is probably one of the most bipolar communities in the world. You have Lamu that has some corners that are like jet setter, high end, the most expensive real estate in the continent, and, you know, very diverse, cosmopolitan, which then is a huge contrast to now when you go to sail up north to the smaller communities that have been facing historic injustices, marginalized by the system, marginalized by the virtue of geography and logistics of accessing these communities, and marginalized by the elements of nature in itself. So with that latter, it's a huge contrast. And for me, we're only able to do this work because we try to straddle both worlds, as opposed to immersing ourselves in a community that we can't access the resources ourselves to help, you know, get these projects going. So we have a kind of a routine that allows us to be productive, but at the same time to be able to tap into the developed world, for lack of a better terminology. So in contrast to life in D.C., it's a huge difference where, you know, just going to grab your usual frappuccino that you get addicted to after a while.
Yes.
And everything has to be properly planned. You have to think out, okay, before I go out to sea for a few days, what are the bare necessities that would allow us to deliver these services? And it's kind of the beauty also of being able to do so much with so little. That's what I would say is the other biggest difference of life out here in Lamu versus out in the city.
Now, are there roads and schools?
So you have Lamu County, which is one of, let me be biased, which is the most beautiful county in Kenya, of the 47. However, what makes it so beautiful, which is pristine, we have, you know, marine life and also wildlife on the mainland. And yet the same beauty is what makes it such a complex region as far as infrastructure is concerned. So where we go, let's say, most of the villages we access are via the sea. And that's the most expensive mode of transportation, where from one end to the other could run you like $300 if you needed to get a speedboat and jet over to the main referral hospital. Well, and yet on the land side, we have a long stretch of unpaved road going all the way up to Somalia, which was out of bounds for over a year. And that's the road that we used to use to deliver most of our motorbike clinics. So it's rather challenging figuring out the, you know, logistics, moving around, you know, where are you going to sleep? Because all these places you go to, it's not like you have restaurants or hotels or anything like that. So we have to, between sleeping on the boat, sleeping on the cars, or finding a local home or family to host the people going in. But yet at the same time, because of the people and the warmth that we get along the trip, it's actually more than rewarding to, you know, set out and hit the road, which is where the word safari doctors comes from, actually.
Oh,
it's the
okay.
concept of safari. It's a journey. It's a journey to healthcare. It's a model to relieve the mobility challenges that people face to access healthcare. So we're owning the word safari in delivering healthcare.
Very good. Now, Amra, what are the most pressing medical issues that you see there?
The most pressing issue is actually not really life or death at that instant. It's more of the issue of vaccinations, let's say in maternal healthcare, mm-hmm. which is not necessarily a sickness, but it's a preventative measures. And it's something that is challenging for a mother, let's say, who has, you know, 2-3 kids, to have to make 2-3 trips every so many months to get these services. So it's actually the primary healthcare, the preventative healthcare, that's a big challenge, because there's no accessible facility, and also the cost of accessing the nearest facility. And then other than that, we have the common issues that come with the season, whether there's, like, you know, a rainy season, there's a cholera outbreak, there's respiratory infections, and just the usual also ailments that a child under 5 would face that could be cured by a simple, you know, cough syrup that is, you know, nowhere in proximity.
I wanted to ask you, how many people do you service and how many people do you bring with you, just to give us a sense of the whole thing?
So when we go on what we call a big Dao clinic, which is when we're doing overnight on the Dao itself, if you add the crew on such an outreach, we're about a dozen that go on board. So that's like a crew of about 5. And then we have medics that are about 3 or 4, and the administrative staff, that's a couple or 3 whenever we go, and maybe a visiting client who wants to go out there. And once we go, each village is an average of 100 patients. So depending on the funds raised, we could be like, okay, this month we can only afford to go to one clinic, which is to the village that's in most need, that is also most accessible. Or we could raise enough funds, we're like, okay, this village, we're going, sometimes we raise enough funds to take us up to 5 clinics. And so we're talking of 400 to 500 patients per month. But the target for safari doctors is to set out on a route that lasts a week, visiting up to 10 to 12 villages. And that would mean we can at least give service to 1,000 people a month.
Wow.
In the region. Yeah.
Well, hopefully some of this that we do today will help towards getting that goal met as we get the word out to more people. We're going to be talking more with...
We really, really hope so.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. We'll talk more with Umra Omar, founder of Safari Doctors, in a moment. But right now, I'd like to take a brief break and tell our listeners a bit about our game on Facebook called A Better World. A Better World encourages habits of goodness, positive mindsets, and giving to social causes to make a positive difference in the world. Players do things like express gratitude, share acts of kindness, send get-well notes to real-world sick children, and much, much more. You can find out more at abetterworld.com. In fact, before I transition back, I should mention that we have worked in our monthly charity work with Cure International, which actually services villages throughout the continent of Africa, and they actually provide medical interventions like removing club foot problems, knocked knees, and also they're a big part of the work behind Operation Smile. And we've worked with them over the years and actually have an interface directly into our game where people can send get-well notes to the children in some of these villages, and they get to see somebody from around the world wishing them well and wishing them to get relief and to feel better. So let me now turn this back to our conversation with Umra Omra, founder of Safari Doctors, and Mary Sue.
Umra, the areas you work in are considered to be quite dangerous due to terrorist activities. Are you ever afraid there, or what happens?
Well, that, Mary, has been kind of a non-issue, because I really don't think that's too safe in the world today. But we do not take it lightly either that we are operating in a region where we have both the militants and the military, but with the understanding that civilians are not a target whatsoever, that gives us that confidence that we can continue getting our services out here. So we are we take the necessary precautions of informing the authorities and going on a neutral and non-political standpoint.
Now, Umar, what do you feel is the most rewarding part of your work there?
The thing that I feel the greatest about is the power of being able to do so much with so little, is where you can see the impact of this the initiative, and you can feel that connection with the community and that it's actually making a difference. Because usually we think, okay, I have to wait till I clear my bills, or until I retire, or until I made this much amount of money, or there's that kind of delay in trying to do something that many, many people feel is their calling or is worthwhile. So the most rewarding thing is the sense of having a purpose and being able to fulfill that in real time, connecting with the community firsthand and working together, also not taking it for granted that it's because these communities allow us to come in, and having that mutual understanding, having an element of coexistence to fulfill that purpose is beyond satisfying. I wake up every day being like, yes, this is where I'm supposed to be, this is what I'm supposed to do. That's
That
very
must feel
rewarding.
really good. Now, Umar, do you have a favorite story that you could share with us of someone that you've helped with Safari Doctors?
I keep on sharing this one incident over and over again because I kind of couldn't believe it myself. There's one village that we frequent in every trip, and a lady that I remember one day, she came up to me, and it was during a big sit down with the community, and she pulled me aside, and the horror, her face, she's like, I'm scared because I'm pregnant again, and I've had two miscarriages before. And I was like, oh, I'm not a doctor, and I feel like there's not, what can I do? Like, I didn't know what I could do. And I guess all she needed was just somebody to kind of talk to and get that out, to seek that advice or that help. And so the least that we could do was go back with her and facilitate the medical checkup, ultrasound, get her on a prenatal, things that we take for granted, having access to just popping into a chemist and doing that. And then I came back on the clinic a few months later, and she was, 6 months pregnant. And then I came back a few months later, and she had a healthy baby boy, and she was over the moon. And for her, it was, she associated it to us being there, whereas for me, it was just that sense of somebody feeling that there's somebody there for them, and in whatever little way we're able to make that concerned effort of facilitating something that actually meant so much more than what I could have imagined. So she came like running with her baby, and like, this
Oh.
is Yusuf, thank you so much. And that was very touching.
Oh, it certainly sounds touching.
Yeah.
Now, here's my last question for you, Alma. How do you hope Safari Doctors is helping to make the world a better place?
I hope that Safari Doctors, more than anything, is an inspiration to step out of that comfort zone and do whatever tiny, whatever gesture it is to make our surroundings, our communities, a much better place, just to do something, to get out and do something, because it's those little gestures that end up making the whole world of a difference. Like, I wouldn't have thought I'd be here chatting with Better Worldians today. So life happens, and I would urge whoever's listening to happen with it and make that difference.
This has been a fantastic session, listening to this program and what you're doing. You're to be commended as one of our best Better Worldians that we've recorded over the years. For our listeners, you can learn more about Umra's work by going to safaridoctors.org. Umra, thank you so much for joining us today on Better Worldians Radio.
Thank you, all of you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome. Better Worldians Radio is brought to you by Better Worldians Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to make the world a better place by encouraging the very best in everyone. We believe that it's important to plant flowers instead of just pulling weeds. So we focus on positive thinking, positive actions, and positive values. In short, our vision is to bring out the better world in everybody so that we can all make it a better world. But we sure can use your help in doing so, so donations to our cause can be done at the Better Worldians Radio podcast, as well as going towards new features like articles, videos, blogs, and more. Go to betterworldians.com and become part of this important mission. And until next time, everybody, please be a better worldian.